This is one where I will take the team turnover for the fact that we just spent the better part of an hour, unfortunately, not having our guest picker, Braxton Hunter, with us because what? The phones, well, we're just having issues. So what did I say before we went to this hour? Hey, Sports Fix at 6 is next. What do you need to have the Sports Fix at 6? You need phones. So for that reason, I will say fumble, and it's a sudden change, Jimmy, but I think we'll find a way to get through.
I think we will. I do want to thank, even though we can't do the Sports Fix at 6, thank Edwin Watts Golf. We had a $25 gift card to Edwin Watts Golf. We appreciate their support, and they're donating that to the Sports Fix as they have. But we will go ahead and get a Tennessee football practice report. Obviously, the Vols are off this week. They had a couple of avails for folks to talk to the media, Josh Heupel, some players involved. But our Eric Kane had a chance to record a Tennessee football practice report, and for that, we go to his report.
We finally reach Friday of Tennessee's bye week, and come Monday, all the focus is going to be on the LSU Tigers. Tennessee spent this past week working on the fundamentals and getting back to the basics. It was time for everyone to catch their breath, especially the young guys who have played some, and for everyone to get healthy as the SEC slate gets going in Baton Rouge. Hendon Hooker's been practicing this week and should be all good. That's according to head coach Josh Heupel. Of course, Hooker took a hit on his non-throwing shoulder during the game and played through some pain. Heupel wouldn't give many details on the likes of Cedric Tillman, Warren Burrell, Dylan Sampson, or D. Williams this week, saying he would have a better understanding next week closer to game day. Tennessee announced that home games against Alabama on October 15th and Kentucky on October 29th have already sold out. Tennessee sold out its last two home games against Akron and Florida. The university also announced that there's very limited availability remaining in terms of tickets for home games against UT Martin, which is homecoming on October 22nd, and for the Missouri game on November the 12th. As for the win over Florida, there's still a lot to reflect on. Josh Heupel was asked about defensive lineman Amari Thomas and how he's gotten better over time.
O has been probably as consistent as anybody has been in the interior. Continuing to change his body has allowed him to be more explosive, play in a better football position, play with better fundamentals and technique, the duration of a football game. His continued growth as a leader has been important inside of our defensive line room. You know, he's continually getting better and doing a better job of snagging off and making plays in the run game and being able to push and affect the pocket and create some big plays there too.
Heupel was later asked about players stepping up on the offensive end, Romel Keaton in particular, as the Vols played without Cedric Tillman at wide receiver last week.
Saturday was a great example of this being the greatest team sport there is, and the next man inevitably is going to have to step up, and you saw that in multiple ways throughout the course of the game. Romel's catch is a great example, but that's just one play that he made on Saturday. You know, greatest tribute you can give to him, man, is there wasn't anything that was different about what we did, and you could see the trust that Hendon had in him, and when the ball went his way, he came away with it and made plays on the catch, but then after the catch too, and his play down the sideline was a huge turning point in the football game, allowed us to be aggressive in the two-minute situation and go get points, able to flip the scoreboard there with a 14-point swing.
As for Keaton, and for the receivers and everyone else on offense, it's always been a next play mentality that's been preached over and over by the coaching staff at practice and in the meeting rooms.
It's just a next play mentality. Like, something bad is going to happen in the game. We don't know what it's going to be. But you got to learn how to respond to adversity. You know, that's the main thing that they harp on. Like, next play mentality. Like, you might mess up one play, like, but it's the next play that counts. So you just got to have a good memory. A fast memory, just like forget the play, move on to the next one, make the next one, because, you know, the next play could change the whole game, so you never know.
As for the SEC slate this weekend, South Carolina actually played last night on Thursday and picked up a 50-10 win over SC State. Number 7 Kentucky will be on the road at number 14 Ole Miss at noon Eastern tomorrow. Number 20 Arkansas hosts number 2 Alabama at 3:30. Top-ranked Georgia will be on the road at Missouri for a 7:30 kick. Other games around the league include Florida hosting Eastern Washington, LSU at Auburn, and Texas A&M at Mississippi State. This UT football practice report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Beat the spring rush, get your pool started now, from design to construction to maintenance. One call can do it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527.
So that Eric came with a football practice report, and John, is if those that didn't hear earlier, so Cedric Tillman, he had ankle surgery. They hope to get him back over in the next 3 to 4 weeks. I don't see any way he plays against LSU. He had that surgery sometime last week, either Tuesday or Wednesday. The situation would be that it's called tightrope surgery. It's supposed to allow you to recover faster from a high ankle sprain. Tua Tagovailoa had it in Alabama. And during a regular season, he suffered the injury, came back 21 days. But he's a quarterback. As a wide receiver, you need more mobility than a quarterback. So I don't know if Tillman can respond that quickly. If he is not able to play against LSU, which I doubt it, maybe Alabama. If not Alabama, then the game after that. From Tennessee's perspective, I would think you're encouraged by the fact that you didn't have him against Florida and you still gained 576 total yards.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's any question that you just look at what Tennessee's been able to do, and that's kind of been the conversation almost since that Heupel and his staff have arrived. It's just looking for depth, and I do think that you are right. They need to find that receiver that can help, but I also think that they've done all right in finding a handful of running backs. Of course, you certainly hope that Sampson will be able to get back into the mix, but I do think with what he's done as both a runner and a receiver, I think he's shown himself to be valuable to this team. And Jalen Wright, I think, has done a very nice job of filling in when he's been pressed into service, and we'll see whether or not they can do the same thing when it comes to that receiver group.
So I'm going to say doubtful for LSU, maybe for Alabama. He could be back for UT Martin. I'm not sure if I would run the risk. If he's not just 100% right then, I probably don't play him. I may hold him until Kentucky on October the 29th, when I would feel better about him being at 100 or close to 100%. So that's kind of look at the situation with Cedric Tillman. John, as far as baseball, last night, Shohei Ohtani, he didn't give up a hit until two outs into the eighth inning. The Angels beat the A's 4-2. He had 10 strikeouts. He is the 10th time he's had a 10-strikeout game this year. He's had 213 strikeouts. His earned run average is 2.35. He's got 34 home runs and 94 RBI. Would he be a repeat MVP if it weren't for Aaron Judge?
Yes. And I do think he's going to get some votes. Especially if Judge does not win the Triple Crown. But, again, Aaron putting together just a remarkable campaign. But, yeah, because we saw Ohtani do things last year that had simply never been done before, and mm-hmm. I think he's even stronger in some aspects of his game this year than last.
He's been a better pitcher this year. And
yes.
He's got more wins this year. He's got 15 wins. I mentioned the ERA at 2.35. He's also got a 14-game hitting streak. That he's riding. So he still had a remarkable year that's been overshadowed by Aaron Judge. Okay, we got the Braves and the Mets, a three-game series in Atlanta. From what I saw, Atlanta needs to sweep the series to win the division due to tiebreakers. The Mets lead the series against Atlanta 9-7. They're throwing Jacob deGrom and then Max Scherzer and then Chris Bassett, which is going to be tough for the Braves, who are throwing Fried and Wright and Morton. John, how do you see that three-game series?
Boy, it should be one, a lot of fun. And you just hope that the weather doesn't get in the way. But at the same time, I just think that to have it be this close at this stage, it really is has been the most fun division to watch play out the way it has. And so I do think that it's I think it'll be tough for Atlanta to get all three, but I have no doubt that they're going to try and do exactly that. And I just hate that they don't have their top guns available, perhaps, for this weekend's rotation. But, of course, they're thinking big picture as opposed to the division because they've already clinched the playoff spot.
Right. I heard that DeGrom has a great ERA against the Braves, but he's like 2-13 because they don't ever score runs for him. So maybe that'll continue.
Yeah,
if he gives
very
up
well
or
be.
Two runs to the – yeah.
Because that's almost any day that ends in Y, isn't it?
Yes, it sure is. It seems that way. But that should be a really entertaining series, and it's fun to see two teams battling it out. with the division title on the line. Yes, they made the playoffs, but with that division title on the line. So that should be a really fun series. And then, of course, Aaron Judge has a few more games to get to 62 home runs. I expect that he'll do it, but, hey, you never know. We'll see what happens there. So, and you've got a big game with Catholic tonight. Correct.
That's right. It's the Fighting Irish playing host to the Fighting Irish, as Father Ryan is in town from Nashville. And these are two teams that can just simply go back and forth. And Father Ryan has had a couple of really tough losses. I think their last game, it was a 46-45 loss to the school they were playing. So I think that they've got a very athletic quarterback, one that they can rely on to keep them in a game out of. While they have a losing record, I just think that they're going to make this a tough contest. And for Catholic, they've played two region games and lost both. They lost at Baylor and then lost 2 weeks ago against McCauley. And so I do think that the Irish might be a little shorthanded in some areas, but it'll be something to see Trevor Duncan take the field in the healthiest position he's been in thus far. So looking forward to tonight's contest.
All right. Well, John, have a great call tonight.
Sure do appreciate it, Jimmy. Hope you have a great rest of the show and enjoy your weekend.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it. Should be a lot of good ball games to watch.
Let's bring you some comments from Kelly Harper as she met the media the other day. This is comments from her media session on Tuesday.
Has Jessica Franklin been able to go like full yet? And how do you envision her role as your smallest post?
Yeah, so Jasmine Franklin has she has rehabbed all summer, and here recently has been full go in practice. I don't think she's 100% herself, but she is still extremely explosive. She finishes so well around the basket. She's experienced. She knows what she's doing. You walk in there, and even though she's one of the smaller post players on our team, she stands out. She's impressive.
I'm going to kind of look at this year's schedule. How do you go from exhibition game at Carson Newman to go right into some pretty tough on the road games like Ohio State?
Yeah, I think I love the exhibition game so that our players can put on a jersey and play in front of the lights. You know, I think that's one of the most important things that that the exhibitions do for you. And obviously we appreciate Carson Newman coming over here, and you know they'll be well coached and they're going to play hard. We're excited about getting to that point. But I think that the entire buildup, I think we understand that first game is going to be extremely tough for us, and we've got to be ready to go on day one. That doesn't start at your exhibition game. You know, that started this summer, and I think that's the way our players have looked at this. And we remind them when we need a little motivation. We remind them the schedule that we put for them. They've got to be on top of things now to be successful in those games.
How big of a role do you expect to have her, and you know, how big impact can she make right away?
Well, I think Jillian, she's going to be able to bring size in addition to Tamari. Jillian's very skilled. Our players love to call her a big guard. She can put the ball on the floor. She can shoot out on the floor. She can post up. Again, you'll hear this recurring theme of this versatility. We have a lot of versatility with this team. Jillian's a big piece of that. I think right now she is she's getting better every day. Again, the understanding the physicality. Playing against Tamari in the paint every day, or playing on the perimeter against Sarah Puckett. I mean, she's getting a lot of different looks, and it's really good for her. She's got a chance to be terrific, and I think what we're going to be able to see is just improvement each and every day.
Obviously, it's a different team, really, every year. But how did you see this team and this program really grow last year? And how do you think you can sort of translate that to this season?
Yeah, I think there's – our team last year really elevated our culture. I think they established it, they set it, and it's a big deal. And I think our players that are returning still bring that, and they still feel that. And again, it's always a work. You're always working on that, building that. But they saw what it can be, and that's important. And then I think that carryover, that competitiveness that our players had, the grit and the toughness, they want to see that again. They want it, not just the coaches, but they want it. And I think that's big steps for us.
Keen Green played a major role in being a leader last year. Obviously, she's off to bigger and better things. So who do you see stepping up into a leadership role this year?
Well, we don't have a Keon Green on this current team. Keon was very mature, a very strong and positive leader that everyone respected and everyone went to. She was an elite mentally. But we have leaders on this team. We have players that are respected. We have players that have the voice. We have players that do the right thing. We have players that are lead by example. But it might take more than one person to do all those things, and that's okay. We're going to figure that out. We've got, I think you have natural leaders with Jordan Horston and Tamari Key because of their experience. I think you have a toughness leader because she's been there in a Jordan Walker. And then you're going to have other people emerge, as different leaders for this basketball team, and I think that's going to be important.
Coach, with a lot of the athletic programs around here, men's and women's sports competing for championships, doing well, the fans being excited about some programs specifically being back, what excites you most about the direction Tennessee athletics is heading in?
Oh man, things on campus just feel good. You feel the excitement. Not just with your own team, but for other teams. And honestly, just the university in general, it just feels so good. And there's so much pride. This past week was so amazing. And I kept telling our players about how I was when I was them, when I was a student, and going to football games when I was a student, and how wonderful that was. And they got to experience what I got to experience, in my opinion, this past week. So that in particular was just terrific. But I was at an alumni gala the other day and listened to some former Vols, and not athletes, just students, talk about how much they love this university and how much this university has done for them and meant to them. And I'm just on a high from all this right now. It's just been so, so good and so exciting. I love this place.
Andrea Carter, I saw that she was talking to you guys and giving you some media tips and everything. What was the thing that you took out of her speech to you guys?
Andrea Carter is amazing, and we've had a chance. She did media training with our players to talk to them about, how to better represent themselves, and I thought some really good tips. But also she was on a panel with all of our Lady Vols last night, all student athletes, and some of the things that she talked about I thought were so relevant for them, and how her transition looked from being a Lady Vol to where she is now, and what lessons she learned as an athlete. And I think it just brings everything full circle when you see this successful person, and she talks about when she was in their shoes. And I think she's done a lot for this athletic department, for this university. She is another person that loves Tennessee, and she took advantage of her time here.
Is there a message for this season that you kind of go to or that you kind of want players to rally around?
We've had a few, but I think for us, all for one. One for all. That's been a recurring theme for us, and just kind of strengthen numbers. But the biggest number is one.
Jordan Horst mentioned that her left hand got a little bit better because of the injury. Would you agree?
I'm telling you, she's looked really good. So I think she had to use her left hand a little bit more there when she wasn't able to practice. She could only do a few things. I do think she probably probably did work a little bit more and probably did get better with her left hand there. The other thing, physically, I know I mentioned it earlier, but physically right now, she's jumping better than she's ever jumped before. You know, and this is somebody that was an unbelievable rebounder last year, but now you watch her, she stands out. And she stands out on a very athletic and impressive basketball team when she's in there jumping and rebounding.
Last year we talked a lot about mental health when she was injured last year, how she's dealing with that mentally. Is there a pep in her step now that she's back on the basketball court?
Yeah, she's been back out practicing quite a bit now, so she feels really good. She's very motivated. You know, she would have loved to have been in our NCAA run last year. There's no doubt about it. So she probably does have a little extra motivation. She wants to be part of something really special.
Last year, before season, you said Jordan Horson had a really good summer. She ended up having the season she did. Who's standing out this summer to you? Who's had that kind of summer to have a breakout season?
We've had a lot of players. Jordan's had another good summer. I think she took more steps forward. I think Tamari's had a good summer. Rekia Jackson looks terrific. Sarah's had a good summer. I mean, I probably need my roster, to be honest with you. I've just been really proud of them. There's really not anyone that I can say, I don't know if they've done well this summer. I think everybody's taking advantage of the time that they've been given this summer.
That's Lady Vols head coach Kelly Harper. It sounds like everybody's had a good summer. I think this is the best roster the Lady Vols have had since they last made the Final Four, which is in 2008. We'll see if they can live up to that.
Do apologize again as we continue to have a few technical difficulties, so we hope to get you back out to Oak Ridge Nissan and Jimmy Himes here shortly. But right now, let's bring you conversations from earlier in the week. This is Tennessee wide receiver Ramel Keaton as he met the media after a breakout game in the Vols' win against Florida last weekend. He discusses the bye week, that performance against the Gators, and more.
Ramel, I guess you made the big catch on in the game on Saturday, the full extension. Just kind of, can you kind of take us through that play and how many times have you gone back and watched it since Saturday?
I watched it a lot, but going through the play, I got a clean release. It was a speed release. I stacked him a little bit, and when the ball was in the air, I really wasn't trying to dive for it. I was trying to like run under it, but I kind of seemed like the flight of the ball was going a little far, so I just like kind of just stretched out for it a little bit, and then I just like looked it in because you know I catch a lot of deep balls like after practice and like over the summer and all that, but. So you can like kind of tell like the flights of the balls, different flights of the ball. So just repping that and just like catching the ball, looking it in, and just it was just like practice, something like that.
You know, filling in for Cedric, you're only going to get so many opportunities to make plays like that. I'm curious to know hours after the game, what's your feeling that you took advantage of that you had your chance and you accomplished that.
Yeah, it was a good feeling. You know, I'm thanking God every single day, even when things were going bad. But he just made the opportunity for me, like, to showcase, like, what I can do. I had, like, a similar ball like that in Georgia. But, you know, it was like that. Like, during that time period, I wasn't really, like, locked in with God, locked in, like, on the field and things like that. So I didn't make that play. So I just had to readjust, and then like when the opportunity came this time, I made it, so thankful for that.
Ramel, curious what specifically any of the coaches or maybe even your teammates said about that catch. I mean, other than just great catch, good job, what did they say to you about that catch?
Kapo, he was like, y'all, I worked for that one. Cause like the whole off season, like we was working all the receivers really, but like we just worked for that, so I mean, it wasn't like, ooh, like, I mean, we got to continue to make them plays, but, you know, we don't want to be like a one-catch guy. Like, we got to be consistent with that. That was the main thing, just coming back, being more consistent with the plays. So, yeah.
And Coach Heupel was talking about the trust that Hendon has in you. Can you take us through that, the evolution of how long you think it took for Hendon to build trust with you and the work you guys have put in that area?
I'll say more like last year, we didn't really work as much, like all the quarterbacks and receivers. But like this year, like this off season, like everybody was really working together and like really putting the time in. So it's just natural for like any quarterback to throw any receiver, so it's just better. So,
Mel, what's the relationship between you and the rest of the guys in that receiving room, and then obviously Kelce Pope as y'all's coach, and how have y'all kind of grown through these first 4 weeks of the season?
I feel like we grew, we came more together, not like football-wise, but just like intellectually-wise, like just knowing how this person thinks, like how they going to react to this situation. Like we all know each other, like we can joke around with each other, like it won't be nothing, but we still want to get better at the same time. Like we know how to flip the switch on and off, so that's a good thing in the meeting room. So, and like off the field, like I know, I don't really go out like that, but you know, but like as a receiver group, I know that like we hang out a lot. I know they do, but just like we all came together like more than how we did last year. So yeah.
Ramel, when you see a guy like Princeton Fant fumble the ball early and then coaches put him back out there and he makes a critical play right before your catch, I mean, as a player, what kind of trust, the trust the coaching staff has in you guys, what's that do for your confidence as a player?
You know, it's just a next play mentality. Like, something bad is going to happen in the game. We don't know what it's going to be, but you got to learn how to respond to adversity. You know, that's the main thing that they harp on, like, next play mentality. Like, you might mess up one play, like, but it's the next play that counts, so. You just got to have a good memory. A fast memory. Just like to forget the play, move on to the next one, make the next one, because you know the next play could change the whole game. So you never know.
Ramel, kind of a two-parter here. How, when you were struggling at times in your career, what do you think were the things that were leading to that? Was it things that were going on with you, or just learning the offense, or something else? And also, this is an era where the transfer portal, a million guys go in and out of it all the time. Mm-hmm. You were a guy playing behind Cedric Tillman, and you stayed. What went into that decision?
I just prayed, asked God, like, what I should do. And he just showed me what I could do. And I had to self-reflect. Like, I really wasn't working that hard, so I couldn't be mad at me. Like, I mean, I was still working, but I wasn't pushing myself to, like, new levels. So I couldn't get mad at the situation, so I just had to readjust and work a little harder, so when my opportunity came, I could take advantage of it. But I still like learn from like watching Sid, like watching Devontae Vaylor. Like it wasn't nothing bad. Like I'm still learning, trying to get better from just watching. But you still got to put the work in. So that's what I had to do.
Ramel, obviously you don't want to play without Sid, but on the other hand, was it kind of nice as a receiver group to go out there and still have the same results and just show how deep the wide receiver room is?
Yeah, our room actually is real, real, real deep. It just, like, if somebody go down, the next person to come up, it shouldn't be no drop-off. Like, we all get coached the same. We all go to practice. Like, it shouldn't be no drop-off. Like, you should be able to put anybody in there, and it should be the same result. Like, it shouldn't be, oh, well, he the backup. Like, it's not going to be the same. Like, no, it's going to be the same. Like, everybody can play. So, you know, we good. At the receiver group.
Well, last week, knowing you were going to probably start and get a lot of opportunities, did you change anything during the week, knowing that Cedric wasn't going to play?
No, man. I just kept my same routine. You know, I've been doing it. I mean, I started a different routine this year, but I just kept my same routine. I still had like a little more focus with it and did a little extra, but just staying on track, staying on my same routine, just being consistent with it.
What have you changed about your routine? Is it just like a game week kind of thing?
Yeah, it's game week. Like, I just want to make sure I get my catches in, like making sure like I'm getting my feet right on my releases, like, and during like indie periods, taking advantage of that, because we only get so many, like with the bags and things like that, with the coaches and having like a dummy like work with you, so you got to take advantage of those, but and take put extra attention into it, so you know when the game comes, you're not really thinking about it. I know, like, in the game, I still have some plays. I know y'all probably can see it because it's on the film. But I still got to work on some things, like, in the boundary. Like, you press, you getting the outside release, like, trying not to get washed out and being, like, tight off him and, like, getting vertical and stuff like that. So.
And going back to your catch, did you surprise yourself at all? I mean, it looked like full extension. You look, you caught it with your, like, your fingertips. Did you, were you surprised when you came up with it?
I mean, I wasn't, like, surprised, but – like, it felt good. It was like, it felt good catching that one. But I wasn't, like, surprised because, like, I knew. I seen the ball the whole way. And, like, when I caught it, I was like, okay, we good. Just keep it off the ground. I had a similar ball like that before, like, a while back where I didn't really take it off the ground. and the ground made it bounce up. So I just learned from that and then readjusted and made the play this time.
Ramel, can you talk about the aspect as receivers where you guys have some options out there based on what you're seeing from the defense and making sure you're on the same page with Hendon Hooker? How much of an adjustment is that?
It's just like repetition. You just got to learn how to like react. Like my problem is I try to like think too much and try to assess the situation. You just got to go out there and just play. Like, if you're playing this way, go this way. If you're playing this way, go that way. Like, just go out there, have fun, ball out. Just don't try to put too much pressure on it because, you know, we practice it a lot. Just go out there and just do it. Like, I mean, we practice with the QBs too. Like, they, like, we'll go out there and just run a route, an option route, and they don't know which one we're running. So, like, doing that a whole bunch of times, so, like, the timing can be right in the game. So, we just keep doing that.
Confidence-wise, you know, where are you right now, and has that been a thing that you've struggled with throughout your career?
I say probably like my second year. I just had to like deal with things mentally and like learn how to control that, because it'll affect like how you play and things like that. But once you like know the problem, just you got to know how to like fix it so it won't keep lingering and just, you know, just keep messing you up. So, but I don't have a problem with adversity though, because, you know, I feel like God gonna have my back either way, so I'm straight.
Ramel, what is the most exciting part about playing in Josh Heupel's offense, and just how fast paced you guys go?
The most exciting thing is that any receiver can pop off at any moment. Like, you don't know who it is, and we thought about a lot. So, you know, we got a number of offense, so It's real fun and exciting to play in, and it's real fast. Like, it's just fun to play out there. Even when you're practicing, like, it's just fun to be out there, especially when you got good quarterbacks that can throw the ball from anywhere. So it's just like, man, we just balling. So, yeah.
And that was comments from Vols wide receiver Ramel Keaton. And, of course, he met with the media earlier this week, as it was a little bit of a limited availability compared to normal for the Vols, with them heading into their bye week. Our final segment of Sports Talk here on a Friday afternoon. Of course, the Vols are idle this weekend with their bye week, but despite the technical difficulties we've been having, which we do again apologize for here, this evening, we do plan on bringing you high school football here tonight, and I'll catch you up on that schedule here in just a minute. Fortunately, due to those technical difficulties, we have lost Jimmy Himes a little earlier than we hoped for tonight. So we do just want to take this opportunity to thank Oak Ridge Nissan for all they do for us here at the station. Of course, Oak Ridge Nissan's a 10-minute drive from anywhere, the place where you can save thousands of dollars. Go check out Scott Gropp in the guys and gals at Oak Ridge Nissan for all of your vehicle needs, not only for a new car, but if your car needs anything from new tires to an oil change or any kind of repair. Looking at that slate here on a Friday night, we'll start with our games here on our Cumulus Knoxville family of stations with, of course, Logan Ward and myself. Sam Foreman produces Sports Talk and host of the Lead Lap podcast. Got to get that plug in there, which, of course, you can check that out every Tuesday and Friday over on 991thesportsanimal.com, coming your way at 1 o'clock for all your NASCAR, F1, and racing needs. Me and Logan at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock-ish or whenever the KLC Game of the Week wraps up, we'll bring you the New Balance Knoxville wrap-up show. But that KLC Game of the Week this week on AM 990 with Vince Ferrar and VFL Jay Graham, it's going to be Bradley Central at Bearden in a Class 6A Region 2 showdown. Knoxville Catholic back off of their second bye week of the season. They'll be coming your way. John Wilkes and Rob Damascus with pregame about 7:20 right here on FM 99.1 as Father Ryan comes to town to take on the Irish. That's a East Middle Region game in Class 3A down in Division 2. And coming your way at the top of the hour over on our sister station 98.7 WOKI, the news and talk of East Tennessee, you can hear Joel Silverberg, Tommy Sweat, and Brian Tatum on the call as Hardin Valley travels to Farragut for a Class 6A Region 2 rivalry showdown. Of course, on Rivalry Thursday last night, as you heard the guys talking about at the beginning of the show, it was Campbell County beating Clinton 54-48 in a Region 3 showdown in Class 5A. We'll bring you all of our high school football coverage and more. Don't forget to tune in after the KLC game of the week to the New Balance Knoxville wrap-up show with Logan Ward and myself, as we'll keep you up to date and bring you all of your finals from around Knox County and all of East Tennessee. We'll even travel up to upper East Tennessee and down to the Chattanooga area and into South Tennessee. We'll bring you all of your scores tonight. Here's this week 7 of high school football. This has been Sports Talk. As John Wilkerson would say, most importantly, thanks to all of you for listening. On behalf of John and Jimmy, I'm Sam Foreman. Take it easy. Sports Talk will be back with you Monday at 3 o'clock.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.